So, Danny, it is March. Birds are humming.
It's true.
Trees are blooming.
Can't see them from in here, but they will be.
But what does March mean to you?
March means it is you set a clock, and we're going to do something a little different today, Jared.
We are going to come live from the USET 2020 conference down in Happy Valley.
Yep, we are in Provo. And you want to know what I can still hear clear down in Provo?
What?
The bell.
So, Danny, we've talked a lot about USET through various episodes of our podcast.
We have.
What do you love so much about USET?
What I love about USET is I feel like it's all my friends in one location. I get to see everyone from across the state.
Do you feel like it's a giant party just for you?
It is. It's like Danny's birthday party, except it's a conference and no one can touch here because of coronavirus. So
this year, there's a lot of elbow waving.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
A lot of wing flapping, as it were.
It's true.
But that's okay. We're being safe.
Yes, we're being safe. And we have some very special guests with us today.
Yeah, one of the best parts about the USET conference is we not only have our great leadership for the USET organization.
Correct.
But we have some fantastic keynotes that come from all over the place.
Very true.
So, Danny, will you tell us about the USET president this year?
I would love to tell you about the USET president this year. This year, our USET president is Pam Turley.
One of the finest.
One of the best. She is an EdTech specialist from Nebo School District. She's a learner. She's EdTech faculty at UVU. She is a K-6 educator. She's a Google certified trainer. And get this, she's a grandma of 28.
Did you also know that she is a world-class tennis player?
I did know that about her. She could probably kick your trash, right? At pickleball?
She has.
Oh,
it's
good.
Not good.
Good. That's what I like to hear, is that a grandma of 29 can kick your butt. Who do you have with you today, Jared?
Well, let's talk about other people who can kick my butt. We are very grateful to have Matt Miller with us today. Matt comes from Indiana, from a small town in central Indiana. Matt's background is he is the author of Ditch That Textbook. And he has a website called ditchthattextbook.com in which he encourages teachers and educators to change up their teaching practice and try and do new innovative practices that reach their students. Matt is a blogger. He's a public speaker, a podcaster, and he is a happy husband and father of three wonderful children. And get this, he and his family, they're living the dream.
Ugh, I bet they are.
Why don't we welcome Matt and Pam to UEN Homeroom?
All right. Well, then welcome to Matt and Pam. How are you guys?
Great. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for having us on.
Okay. Well, we have the most challenging part of our podcast right up front. And what we do is we have questions from a Utah kindergartner.
How did we get that kid to come all the way to USET today?
You know, some parents are more lenient than others.
I'm telling you, that kid never goes to school.
Their kids out of school. No. It's fine.
Well, let's find out what the first question from a student is. This one will be for Matt.
What is your favorite Transformer?
Oh, my goodness. What is my favorite Transformer? This is such a great question because I used to play with Transformers when I was a kid.
How
I had a whole bunch of
that?
Them. I don't know, but this kid is brilliant, you know?
Like, obviously.
I had a favorite one and a wheel fell off of it, and my dad had to, like, put it back together with, like, super glue and a nail and stuff. So Transformers are a part of me, you know? I mean, I think the obvious answer is Bumblebee, but I think I'm going to go with Optimus Prime, you know? I mean, he's the dude. He's the boss, so you can't go wrong
with
that.
So clearly you're an Autobot fan.
Yes, definitely Autobots, yeah.
Okay.
Autobots
not
all the way.
Not a Decepticon.
Yeah,
right.
I never saw you as being a Decepticon.
Right, that's true.
Pam's looking at us right now like we're crazy. Just
she's
so you
like,
know.
I have no idea. Thank
just
God
be glad they didn't ask you
that.
For your favorite Transformer.
Yeah. So Pam, what's your, I'm just kidding. All right, let's have the second question.
Pam, our second question is,
what is your favorite way to eat pizza?
Oh, with my hands, never with a fork. Although I saw Matt eating his with a fork last night when we were out to dinner. So
is that how they do it in Indiana, Matt?
I don't know. You know, I had just been traveling all day. I hadn't gotten to wash my hands. It was just one of those things. You know,
you're just being safe.
You know, I'm just trying to be safe. I was
trying
to be good.
Okay. Yes, all
right. That's right.
And when you eat it with your hands, do you fold it up at all, Pam? Or you just?
Oh, that's a good question.
Yeah, folding it up. Yep.
Okay, and then I have a serious add-on to this question. Pineapple. Does it belong on pizza?
Oh.
Only with Canadian bacon, not with anything else.
So you're okay with it?
I'm okay with it.
I'm going to need you to step out of the booth. Man. We're just going to talk to Matt. Well, I'm sorry,
but you're going to lose both of us because I'm the same
really?
Way.
Really?
Yeah, I'll do pineapple on pizza.
I mean, I knew you were going to be an Autobot, but pineapple right. on pizza.
That was a Decepticon answer, wasn't
yeah, it?
Yeah,
it was.
So Pam, we're going to have to leave apparently.
I guess we can keep you around.
Okay.
All right.
I can't respond to this. You're going to kick all of us out.
Get out of my booth.
Our third and final question will actually go to both of you.
What day is harder, the first day of school or the last day of school?
Oh, my goodness.
Kid's deep.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. I'm going to go with the first day of school. And for me, this is why, because whenever I get away from the classroom for a while, even if it's as short as spring break, but mm-hmm. definitely over summer break, before I get back, I start to wonder if I can still teach. It's like I have this little doubt, this little voice inside of me that's going, you don't remember how to do this. You're not going to be able to do this. And so I lose a lot more sleep the day before the first day of school, even though the last day of school is hard because you have to say goodbye and you wrap sure. everything up and all of that. That's my answer, at least.
Yeah, I was going to go. I can see reasons for both. I think the okay. first day of school, because it's been preceded by 5 days of back-to-school nightmares.
Oh,
and you haven't
yes.
had any sleep. But I would
the
agree
Sunday
with Matt.
The Sunday scaries, but like a whole week of the Sunday scaries.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the last day of school for the same reason, I think saying goodbye to your students is hard.
Yeah.
So
it's always hard to say goodbye, Danny.
It is. It is.
Yeah. Well, we're here at USET 2020, and Matt was kind enough to come to be our keynote this year. Mm-hmm. And Pam, you're in charge of USET. You're the president this year. One of the themes of this year's conference is that USET is looking at a revision. You're using that term as 2020 revision in your teaching. Can you share us maybe a little bit about what that means to you, of what it looks like to re-envision teaching in Utah?
I think Matt really addressed that in his keynote this morning, that we've been doing teaching in a traditional way for such a long time. But now we have so many tools available, but about a different way. Our kids are in a different world, different way of learning, different opportunities, and we really need to rethink and revision, and it starts with a vision. We just can't go out and do it. It's mm-hmm. We have to really have a vision of what we can do, and then we can move together as a state towards that. So,
do you think Utah's pretty good about having a vision for what we see, education, where it's going?
I think we do. I think we're doing a good job in our state, individual districts, and also as a whole. It's great to have organizations like UEN. There's a plug for you guys.
Hey, thanks.
They kind of tie the state together. And I think you get perspective, and when you go out and do your PD, you get perspective from a lot of different school districts, and you bring sure. it back to the group and to the whole. Mm-hmm. So I think in that way, we have a collective vision.
Yeah. So you decided to bring Matt here to talk to our crowd at USET. Why Matt?
Because he has cool glasses.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
There
That's
you
what it was. I wondered what it was.
Well, I've been a fan of Matt's for a long time. I have followed his own podcast okay. that he does with Casey Bell, Google Teacher Tribe, right? And I knew that he had a way of really looking at how we could do in easy, simple, scalable ways to revision education. And one thing I really respected about him is he gives away so many of his resources for free. His digital summit that he does every year, free videos. And so I just thought he would be a great fit for us at Utah, in Utah.
Yeah, I was going to say, Matt, that's definitely something that I would say a lot of people know you for, is reimagining or re-envisioning the way that the classroom should look. Maybe tell our audience a little bit about your ideas, where the Ditch That textbook kind of came from.
Yeah, I would love to. So a lot of it very much came out of my own classroom. So the first several years of my career, I was a very traditional, by-the-textbook high school Spanish teacher. You know, chapter by chapter, questions at the end of the chapter, mm-hmm. workbook pages and worksheets, and it was a lot of that. And I got about 3 or 4 years into my teaching career, and I realized that the students in my Spanish classes couldn't speak Spanish.
Wow.
Something was not going right. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned in my keynote today, I had this sort of crisis moment where I had this one particular class where everything went wrong. I didn't engage my students. They mm-hmm. weren't having it. I tried to fight back, and when the bell rang, they sprinted for the door. And at that point, I started to realize, my goodness, something has to change. Like, you know, as a language teacher, I was going, babies can learn how to speak a language.
Yeah.
There has to be a better way to do this. And sure. whether you teach Spanish or second grade or social studies, you know, there's a lot of commonalities in that. That it's just like what Pam said, it takes It takes some vision, and it also takes some courage, too. You know, when you're teaching the same way that so many people have for so many years, and you see that something isn't right there, you have a couple of options. You can either continue to go down that same path, continue to do that, or you can step out and try something different.
Yeah.
And the tough part is stepping out and trying something different. There's no guarantees on that. Mm-hmm. It may be better or it may be worse, but that's about the only way that I can see to move forward and to try to change things.
I have a follow-up question to that, because we're at a conference with 1,800 teachers, right, from all across Utah. They're obviously interested in making changes or trying new things, that, or they wouldn't be here. What would you say to a teacher who's still kind of doing it the traditional way,
but
is at this conference and they're trying to learn a few new things? Mm-hmm. Where would you tell them to get started? Like, what would you say to do Thursday when they go back to class?
Yeah. I'm glad you asked me that, because I think a lot of times that very teacher that you're describing, which I think all of us have been at some point, comes to something like this or starts to see the possibility of where education could go. Yeah. And there's one word that seems to describe their state in that moment, and that's overwhelm. Mm. It's easy to get overwhelmed. You know, with an event like this, there's so many options and there's so many tools and there's so many things people are doing. And you go, oh my goodness, I'm so overwhelmed. I feel crippled. I don't even know if I can do anything. And I've learned that overwhelm is not the problem of having too many options. It's not knowing where to start. And so just trying to find where to start is huge. Just, you know, putting your, you know, drawing a line in the sand and saying, this is where I start. And so when it comes to starting, I think there's three different ways that you can do that that's really helpful. One is to start small. You know, find something that makes you say, I can do that.
Yeah.
Another one is to start with impact. If you can find an area that your students are struggling with or where your instruction just isn't as good as it could be, if you improve that one area, the impact will be greater. So you'd start there. And the third one, I think, is you can start with passion. What are you excited about? What are your students excited about? It's hard to argue with passion. So I think for those that are trying to do that, A, realizing that your overwhelm doesn't have to be crippling if you can just find a starting spot. And B, deciding how to start, either starting small, starting with passion, or starting with impact.
I like what you're talking about, that you have to start somewhere, and that's where overwhelm comes from, is I don't know where to start. Something else that you talked about in your keynote that I really liked was the power of working with others and collaborate. Mm-hmm. Do you want to elaborate on collaborating?
Yes, I will do a little collaborating. Elaborating.
I know.
I see what you did there.
Nice job, Danny.
Thank you.
Yeah. Because this one really hits home with me. When I started teaching, long story short, I came to education from being a journalism major.
Okay.
And I jumped right into it without even having a teaching license. I was on an emergency teaching permit.
Sure.
As I got my license, I didn't have a traditional student teaching experience in another teacher's classroom because I was in my own classroom.
Mm-hmm.
And then the school where I taught, I was the entire world languages department.
Hey, good job.
Yeah, it was just me. So
you were department chair.
I was. And you know what?
It is. And your most annoying faculty member.
Yes.
You got to be both.
Yeah. And guess how the department meetings went? There was never any dissension.
I mean, always it
was,
worked out.
It was easy, yeah. But that also meant as a beginning teacher, I didn't have anybody else to talk to.
Yeah, exactly.
And so I was missing that collaboration piece. When I came to a conference like USET, that was like a breath of fresh air to me. And you know, in the keynote, I talked about how when we do things on our own and we don't reach out to others, we become the limiting factor. We're limiting our kids to only what one brain can accomplish. Mm-hmm. But whenever we collaborate and we reach out to others, we become the empowering factor, because now we're empowering kids to see more, do more, experience more than they can with just our one brain. And it starts with, you know, talking to somebody else and saying, what do you think about this? Yeah. What else could this take? And that takes some vulnerability.
Yeah.
That takes some courage. But, you know, when the end product is so much better, I think it's something that we've got to be willing to do.
You know, Pam, I'm curious. This conference obviously brings people together from all across Utah. As Matt's talking about that power of collaboration, how do you see this conference being a vehicle to help teachers do that?
That's a really good question. I think maybe as an organization, and you said we need to build in, not just be about the conference, but build in a way that we can continue to build. Maybe we do have some things in that we do as an organization, like we have our Ed Chat every week, could be a way to connect, but making even maybe a more intentional effort to create those personal learning communities, figure out a way that, you know, we have a newsletter that goes out that, but maybe we need to make that more, solicit more responses. It would be fun to say, what did you implement? What's your one thing? Yeah. What's the one thing you took from you said, and how is that working in your classroom? And get maybe more ideas from the field and continue sharing and building upon that.
Can I speak to that too?
Yes, please.
Because I found that, you know, we've got an email newsletter through Ditch That Textbook too. And one of the things that we've loved to do is open it up to guest bloggers. So we'll have somebody write a guest blog post for us, or we'll take that Twitter chat and we'll curate a lot of the best tweets into a post.
Oh,
that's
so a great
then
idea.
All of a sudden, all of those voices of the educators become part of the content too. And, you know, whenever they're contributing to it, you know, it starts to build this community. And I think, you know, that's one part of it, and community is so huge. And that's one of the cool things I've witnessed here is the power of the community that you guys have built.
Well, and I would say, Matt, you just described, like, you were a foreign language teacher as the only person in your building.
Right.
So it took you going potentially to some place or connecting online with other people to be able to find your tribe. And I think that's one of the power of conferences, is it helps you connect with and find the people that are part of your tribe.
Right.
You know, even last night, right? Like, we were kind of talking that we had a moment where we were kind of doing something socially, and it just connects you to the people and the place.
Yes. You're right. And this is going to, and because of that, because of some of those social experiences, that's what's going to make this a memorable experience for me. This is one that I'll remember, you know?
Notice he said memorable, but maybe not repeatable.
Or
I heard
maybe not
Jared
enjoyable.
Was not on best behavior last
well,
night.
Well, you know, it was
this
just
this is being recorded, Danny.
It was just a moment of passion that I don't think that
this is now
back.
Really being recorded.
Of passion and not of collaboration.
Can we get that into
or
context?
Teamwork?
I won't go as far as saying aggression, but if someone said aggression, I wouldn't correct them.
Just so you know, listening audience, we were just playing sports.
Yes.
There's our context.
Yeah. Yes, and Jared was not on best behavior. I'm sorry, Matt.
He was most of the time, but there was that moment. I'm just, we won't speak of the moment. But
just so you know, listening audience, we introduced Matt to pickleball last night.
Yes, which was great.
So,
yeah.
One of the questions that we got from your keynote that we were kind of thinking about is you talked about the ability for people to be brave.
Yeah.
What do you think is a good way for teachers to start being brave in their classrooms?
Oh, yeah. That's a good question. To start being brave.
You know, we have a lot of teachers, like you've mentioned, that kind of are traditional.
Yeah.
To get that confidence up to try something for that first time.
Yeah.
That takes a lot of bravery.
Yes, yes, it really does. You know, I'll tie that back to Maverick and Top Gun, as I did in the keynote, because the way I described him was he was someone who was willing to take a risk when the potential rewards are huge.
Yeah.
And so I think if anybody's willing to try some new things, I think we've got to keep our eyes on those potential rewards. You know, there's a little poem. I think the poet's name is Erin Hansen, and she says something to the effect of, she talks about, you know, our dreams and being able to go get them. And the part that really sticks with me is she says, and what if I fall? Oh, but my dear, what if you fly?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you think about what if you fly? What is that going to look like? And I think when we get too concerned about what if I look bad? What if it doesn't go well? What if it feels like a waste of time? That's going to keep us from doing anything different. And there were, it's debilitating is what it is. But what's empowering is starting to think about the possibilities, the dream. What would that look like? And if we're willing to let ourselves go there, and that takes some courage too, you know, I think that's huge.
You know, I always think about that line from the movie We Bought a Zoo, that sometimes it just takes 20 seconds of courage.
Yeah.
And once you get past that threshold where you've done it now, then it doesn't require as much courage because now you've crossed that threshold.
Yeah, that's like Mel Robbins in the 5-second rule, right?
Yes.
Doesn't she say if you're going to take action on something, you have 5 seconds to do it, to pull the trigger?
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Right.
Yep. Do it.
Yep, exactly.
Well, we appreciate both of you being in our podcast today and for sharing some moments with us while you're at USET. We know you're super busy as you're going around. Any parting words, Pam, for people who want to come to day two of the conference?
We really look forward to you coming tomorrow. We've got some other great sessions. We've got some international visitors. We've got Richard Collada, who's the ISTE president, coming to share some things with us. So looking forward to it.
Fantastic. And where would they go if they want more information? They're listening to this podcast.
Go to USET.org and click on the conference button, and you'll have everything that you need to know about the conference.
Awesome. And Matt, what about you? How do we find all of your things and stuffs?
Yeah, so the things and stuffs are easy to find. The best place to go is to go to ditchthattextbook.com.
Okay.
That's where a lot of things are. In fact, I've got a couple of free ebooks that people can get if they're interested.
Ooh.
If they go to ditchthattextbook.com/101. One of them is called 101 Practical Ways to Ditch That Textbook. So there's a little free gift that I can offer your listeners. Yeah.
That's fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we appreciate being in the homeroom today. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
So, Danny, do you want to give the laser teacher tech tip for today?
Ugh. Do we have to do a tech tip today?
Well, this is kind of a podcast about technology, so it might be useful.
I just don't have anything today. I'm tired. My brain cells are not firing. I don't want to. Do you want to?
I think we need to bring in a guest speaker for our lazy teacher tech tip, Danny.
I am feeling exceptionally lazy today, so I think that's a great idea, Jared.
Since we're coming live from the USET conference,
yes,
we are the UEN sitting booth. Actually in the UEN booth.
We are.
We're going to have Nicole Johnson from UEN Professional Development share with you some of the amazing things we're telling Utah educators about what they can do with UEN.
What do we have at the booth today, Nicole?
Well, we're offering some awesome UEN swag, but one of my favorites.
Is this limited edition swag?
This is absolutely not limited edition swag because we give this out any opportunity we can.
Yes, we do love, we love to give out our swag. So what we got today?
So we have some Utah's Online Library bookmarks.
Oh, the best.
Ooh, which is a hot commodity.
Definitely a lazy tech tip for teachers.
Oh, kay? For sure.
Let's hear about it.
Your students' login information to the Utah Online Library so they don't have to open up their computers and look in odd places. It's on their bookmark every time they need to access Utah's Online Library.
They tried to take these away, and what was the response, Nicole?
Teachers were so mad. They loved them so much.
It was pandemonium.
Absolutely. So we brought them back, and we have thousands of them to give away.
And who could they contact if they're not here with us today live at the USET conference? How do they get those bookmarks to their school?
Yeah, they can definitely reach out to us via email at training@uen.org, or they can call our offices and we can get that all handled for them.
You're such a
so
champion.
So are you telling me, Nicole, that if a teacher like Kayla Woosley wants to have access to Utah's Online Library, they can call you and get access?
Absolutely.
Kayla, how do you feel about that?
That's super, super cool.
That is as live as it gets.
It's
coming
true.
To you from the UEN booth at USET conference. Thank you.
Thank you.
Danny, can you believe this? We've actually got a second lazy teacher tech tip today.
It's the best day to be a lazy teacher. I'm not going to lie.
I think we're getting lazier by the minute at this conference.
I know I am.
So we're at the UEN booth, and our friend Sam Plant just came by. He teaches at Salem Junior High.
That's right, ninth grade English.
Hey,
shout out to the Salem Junior High
Spartans.
They're the Spartans at Salem Junior High. He's got the greatest tech tip I've ever heard.
All right, let's hear it, Sam.
You know, I'm surprised how many teachers don't know about EduRoam. I was at a conference or a meeting the other day at UVU with teachers from several different districts all fighting about Wi-Fi and passwords.
Right.
We've all been there, right?
Yeah, it's a
go
pain.
To a new building, yeah. Don't have the Wi-Fi code.
Or even here at USET. Everyone's wondering what the Wi-Fi is.
Right.
No doubt.
And I logged on right away with no problems on EduRoam, and no one else, everyone else was still
so
trying to figure out the
password. So what is EduRoam?
So it's from what I understand, it's a Wi-Fi access that's available for everyone with like an education account.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've even got a student teacher from UVU who's using it at our school to log on to the Wi-Fi.
Oh, that's awesome.
Exactly. So
once I told her about it, she didn't know about it.
Districts, any university campuses that are public ed, all have EduRoam access.
Yeah, and I just log in with my own email and my own password, and I haven't had any issues with it.
That's Ta-da. The part that I think is the coolest part of it is you don't have like a generic EduRoam password.
Right.
It's your district credential or your school credential.
Usually what you use to log in on your computer.
Yeah.
Shout out to EduRoam and thanks to Sam Plant for giving us another Lazy Teacher Tech Tip. So, Danny, I have thoroughly enjoyed being here live at the UEN booth during the USET conference.
This was a great idea. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, and I'm pretty stoked on it. I think we should do it more often.
Couldn't agree more. Fernando, the producer, says.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's.
This was all his brainchild, just so you know.
He's great. He's the only reason we sound good.
And as much as we love Fernando, guess what else I loved?
What do you love?
I loved our conversation with Matt Miller and Pam Turley.
Weren't they wonderful?
They gave us so many good ideas about how we can envision a new future with technology in the classroom.
Yeah, I really liked his message about being brave, too.
That's right.
Because it's true. It's hard. If it's something you haven't done before, like, it does. It takes bravery. And I think embracing that and that vulnerability is really cool. It's a good combo.
And I like how so many of the teachers who are here exhibit that.
Yes.
Like, they're stepping out of their classroom, out of their comfort zone, and trying something new, which really, that gives us, we should give them kudos for that.
Agree.
Well, Danny, that's it for this episode.
Yeah, I gotta go run. I'm volunteering soon.
Danny is giving back to the people today.
Giving the people what they want. I'm volunteering. Come find me on the third floor.
Wonderful. And with that, there is the bell.
Bye.